Hey, Eddie, you know what's awesome?
What's awesome, my love?
My little oil biz.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Do you like that name? Mom's little oil biz?
Almost as much as I love you.
Let's do this podcast, doTERRA style.
You got it, babe.
Welcome, everyone, to Mama's Little Biz podcast. My name is Angela Villa.
And I am Eddie Villa. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're so excited because we've got someone very special here to hang out and talk with us. But as always,
let me take this. Okay, go for it. Usually I'm the one telling you how I met these people, but you discovered this person first.
Yes.
So I'm going to say, Eddie, how did you come across this guy?
Well, this is sort of brief history. Back in a couple of years ago, I was in a place where I needed something different in my life. Our business was thriving, but it was thriving without me. And had nothing to do. And I just wanted to figure out what my place was. And so I just happened upon this podcast. The guy that was being interviewed was talking about this morning routine. He started talking about the story and I just got immediately hooked. And it was like one of those kind of things where you call out to the universe and you're like, this is what I'm looking for. And all of a sudden it shows up. And this book, I just ordered it immediately, started reading it, doing everything it was talking about. And it was a book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And I just became hooked. And I couldn't not just do it. I had to tell everybody about it. So I was constantly talking about it. And then all of a sudden I hear about this new version of the book that's for network marketers. And my mind goes, yes!
It really did.
We got to tell everybody about this. And, you know, I'm just referring everybody into this book. And all of a sudden, the writer of this book reaches out to me and says, Eddie, I can't believe it. You've referred a bunch of people. I really appreciate it. And I was like awestruck. I was like, oh my gosh, the writer of the book is reaching out to me.
Eddie, if you don't know Eddie, well, he doesn't do well with our industry celebrities. He pretty much loses it.
So. I'm not good when I meet celebrities. I tend to geek out. Anyway, so that's kind of how I got connected, and I started watching all his videos, and I'm like, this is like my people. This is the kind of people I like following and listening to. So that's how I got hooked into. But we'll mention something how I actually didn't even know this, but we'd actually been introduced to this guy much earlier.
When I first started network marketing, I had no idea.
So we'll mention that real quick after we bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the amazing, the very inspiring, and I'm hoping that we become very good friends after this, Pat Petrini. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hello. Hello, Angela, Eddie. Thank you both so much. And Eddie, my hope as well. I'm so glad to be connected with you guys now. And I hope this is the first of many things that we're working together on here.
Sweet. So thanks for coming on, brother. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So real quick before we kind of get to your story, Angela, why don't you talk about how you didn't even know this, but you had actually been sort of introduced to Pat at one point in time years ago.
Yes. You kind of were one of the reasons that kickstarted me in this whole network marketing world. Although I will say I was raised in a network marketing family. My mom is a million-dollar earner in the profession. She's amazing, but it wasn't.
I love it.
It wasn't until the comedy factor came in and the product came in that I went, oh, this is really cool. I want to do this. And so your video, your cartoon.
Which nice. I did not even know that you wrote this book and you also did this cartoon. So go ahead. Talk about that.
One of our, one of the top leaders in our company, he actually introduced his training with the, this is a pyramid scheme cartoon. And it just had me rolling and it was shared millions of times and it's absolutely hilarious. So I didn't connect the two until honestly, embarrassingly recently.
I love it. That's so great to hear. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that the cartoon came out maybe, I'm not sure, maybe 5 years ago or so. And yeah, it was kind of just a fun little, like it was me and a buddy that we were like, venting, you know, frustrations.
That's
essentially
exactly how
right,
this is someone and like, it.
Yeah, I just like was I saw this little software where you could like play with these little cartoon people and create your own script or whatever. So we just kind of started creating it and had no plans for it or anything. It was just kind of having a little bit of fun, and then we posted it and the thing just like absolutely exploded, just got shared all over the place. And I think it's the most viral video in all of network marketing to date. And so it's been kind of fun that has really made the rounds, but I love that. I love that you had seen that a while back.
I must have seen it then when it first started, because it was around 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was probably right when it first came out.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. That is so funny. And now here we are, you're on our podcast.
So I'm looking at it right now.
I love it.
It's got like 1.4 million views on it.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It you know, I think it still gets like 500 to 1,000 views a day or so, and it just keeps on getting shared. And you know, it's been fun to see it. I you know, some people, like, we didn't create it as like a prospecting tool, but it's just like for those of us that are you know, in the business and have all had that conversation a million times, I feel like it's a little therapeutic. It was therapeutic to write it, you know. So
it is a gift to the side that everybody just needs to see once in their lifetime. So we want to jump into this. You know, I like I said, I was binge watching videos of you because you are literally everywhere, and you breathe a reality into network marketing, but also it's a very driven reality. It's not a harsh like this is hard, but you could be that 5%, or it's a fresh reality that gives people a really optimistic view of being an entrepreneur, not just network marketing, but becoming an entrepreneur. So yeah. I want to know more about you directly from you. We love when the people we interview share their story, because everybody has one.
Everybody has one,
but not everybody gets to share it. And we want to encourage the people who listen to share your story. Just like Eric Worre says, share it 100 times in a month. So Pat, if you would, tell us about you, how you got started in this whole crazy world.
Sure, absolutely. So it first really started when I was 18 or 19, and I was it was summertime. You know, I was in my like senior year of high school, I think, and my mom literally was circling ads in the paper and leaving the paper next to my bed. Like, here's different ways to get a job, you know, kind of things. And one of the ads was pretty generic. It said something like, you know, customer service, make $15 per appointment. Something like that. And I didn't really know what it was. I called it. I showed up to this interview, and it was for a direct sales company, not so much a network marketing company, but kind of, I consider them in the same, you know, genre. It's a company called Cutco Cutlery. Okay. That is, you know, a great company, great products. They sell kitchen products, and you're not really building a team with Cutco. You're just kind of learning to sell products. But that was my, I showed up to the interview, and they showed me this, you know, path to making like $10,000 for in a summer. And, you know, it was mostly college kids or college age kids that kind of they recruit for that company. And my eyes were like lit up seeing dollar signs, and I was really fired up. And I came home and I give my parents a hard time about this, because they did everything they could to dissuade me from joining. They were like, there's no way, this is too good to be true, blah, 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 blah. Right. And they even got like my aunt on the phone, who had done like Pampered Chef, or not Pampered Chef. She had done Salad Master like, you know, decades ago, and how she got started, and telling me how this is, you know, going to be super hard, and it's not going to be as easy, and all this kind of stuff. And fortunately, I was stubborn enough to just say, well, hey, I'm gonna do it until I figure out what the catch is, and I'm gonna try to see it. And I guess that's kind of why I like sharing that, is that we've all probably had that experience of, especially when you're first getting started in like network marketing, direct sales, of close family members, friends, with your best interest at heart, generally trying to talk you out of it, because they want to save you from a scam or like whatever. Right.
Sure.
And it's a lot of things do sound too good to be true, maybe, but so far, like, the best opportunities that have ever happened in my life have all sounded too good to be true. And it's just following through with them anyway, until you figure out if there's a catch or not. So I decided to do it, and actually to kind of tie a couple of stories here together. The way that I got started with Cutco was, I was, you know, working hard, but I got some recordings of some of the top reps in the company that were doing their own presentations. And I would just listen to these recordings just over and over and over again in my car as I'm driving to different appointments, and trying to absorb their verbiage, trying to absorb their presentation, their confidence, and trying to like mimic them. And one of those top reps was Hal Elrod, the author of The Miracle Morning. Okay. And Hal had been in Cutco for just a couple years before, prior to me. And by following, you know, by mimicking him, I eventually became one of the top reps in the company as well. And again, I just say that to kind of try to illustrate a point there, is that I think that that's one of the fastest ways to become skilled at whatever you're doing, is to find the best people in your company and get, you know, get around them, try to be on the phone calls when they're talking to prospects, get recordings of those 3A phone calls or webinars or coffee appointments or whatever it is, that, and just listen to those over and over and over again, and try to mimic their confidence, mimic their pacing of the way that they're presenting, mimic their, you know, their presentation style, and just make their words kind of become yours, and you'll start getting the same results that, that they get, you know? So anyway, that's kind of how I got started. I was with Cutco for about 4 years, and then I eventually was introduced to, you know, kind of network marketing, more not so much direct sales, but I was introduced to somebody who had been a multi-million-dollar earner in network marketing, and over several decades was a top earner in a couple different companies, and I kind of saw the whole picture of residual income, and that really got my attention, because with Cutco, it's a one-time sale generally. A lot of the model has actually changed since then, but the products last forever. So you generally, that's kind of the selling point. You don't have to sell them again. When I saw consumable products and residual income and everything, then it kind of piqued my interest. And that's when I first jumped into network marketing, and was working my tail off with that company. I was 22 when I joined that company. And I was with that company for about 7 or 8 years. Eventually, things had kind of changed a little bit, and my wife and I got married in between there, and we made the decision to sell our business with that company. Then we kind of stepped into real estate, which is what we've been doing as primarily our full-time business for the last few years, and flipping properties here in Phoenix. We stepped back into network marketing a couple years ago to help a company launch, and we were with them for about a year. And then and in there, kind of the book came out and some different things. Right now, I am not actively with a company, like building a team, promoting it, but I do kind of some consulting. I do I help people with a lot of lead generation. I do some things like that. And I love the industry. I love what network marketing is. I love the business model. I know that I'll be with another company again at some point, you know, it just kind of like doing different things, but doing real estate as well is our main thing now. So that's kind of a background in a nutshell a little bit.
That's awesome. And, you know, I love this about this, is like, it's a great network marketing story, because it shows how it's like your gate. It was like a gateway drug for you to
very much so. Yeah.
All these other things, to be your own boss. And
yeah.
You know, and what's great about network marketing is it kind of like it opened the door for you for other things.
Yep.
I really love that. And I think that's what's great about this.
I think, you know, I totally agree. I think that network marketing, one of the beautiful things about network marketing, so like Robert Kiyosaki often says, in his book, he talks about how the best thing about network marketing is the education people get. Yeah. In doing it. And when I remember when I first heard that, I was like, screw that. I want the money. Like don't talk to me about how, you know, cause I was like, I'm not here for an education. I'm here to like make some money. Don't tell me about it. But that, you know, I was younger then. And now in hindsight, it's funny because I feel the same way, in that network marketing is such an incredible vehicle for people, because on top of the incredible income opportunity that is there, I think that so many people, I was fortunate to be exposed. However, you know, the things happened. I followed that ad in the paper and landed with that direct sales company and was being exposed to personal development early. But I think that if a lot of people don't, you know, if that doesn't sort of happen to them, then if they just kind of go to school, get a job, kind of follow the more general path, I think that, you know, a lot of people don't even read a book after they get out of school, and personal development is just not a big piece of their priority. And network marketing is so wrapped around personal development. You know, it's so hard. It's hard to be involved in network marketing and not be getting a big dose of personal development. That totally changes people's lives. Even if they don't make money in network marketing, they go on to do other things, and that's stuff that sticks with them. Although obviously we're all here to make money as well, or many people are. So, but the education is incredible, and network marketing is amazing for that, for exposing people to that.
Right. And it's, I mean, what you said is a gateway, but network marketing is a gateway into entrepreneur, and full blown entrepreneurialism. Is that a word?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I was reading something about facts about books, and it was like 33% of high school students never read another book. 42% of college grads never read another book in their life. 70% of U.S. adults have never read a book in the last 5 years, and 80% of families don't even buy books anymore. But the entrepreneur reads 2.5 books a month on average.
Yeah.
So it's it is a game changer, because once you start, you dive into that world of education, then you start learning about the other things, like, oh, real estate, and you start
totally
learning about, oh, this and that, and then it explodes. So it is the biggest gift.
I totally agree. I think that, you know, we have been largely in real estate the last few years, and on top of some of the other things we've done, but we never would have been as successful had we not learned the skills, you know, just learning the skills of following up with leads and lead generation, and learning to just like be aggressively, you know, how to build a business, how to put in a lot of work, how to sit down and do 3 hours worth of phone calls back to back, which, you know, a lot of people have never done things like that. So network marketing is just so great to expose people to those exercises.
Yeah.
I love that. And for me, if we're spending our time doing this kind of, you know, the self-development, it's a whole different type of education than what typical people think. What you probably thought when someone says you get an education, I'm like, I don't want to go to college. Like, that's not an education. I want something there. I want money.
Right.
That's not what Robert's talking about, right? He's not talking about going to college. He's talking about making money.
Right.
That kind of education.
Right.
Which is
awesome. Yeah. He's talking about everything that goes with it, right? Home-based business tax advantages, learning how to manage your finances, learning how to, you know, run a business from a financial perspective, learning how to generate leads, learning how to follow up with leads, learning how to close sales, learning how to present, like the skills that build wealth, you know, that unfortunately are not taught in school, are not even really taught in college. That's the stuff that people learn in network marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about something. I know it's been a couple of years, but when you made the transition from direct sales to network marketing, what were some of the new muscles you had to develop in that transition?
Definitely it was, you know, sales to network marketing was the big difference. I mean, I very much consider network marketing sales. Sales isn't a dirty word. You know, I think sales when done right is a beautiful thing, and is helping other people make a decision that is either going to, you know, is in their best interest. Mm-hmm. So those skills were all extremely valuable and transition very well. The part that was new was really like building a team, learning how to kind of motivate others, learning how to organize people, learning how to run events successfully, even if they're a small little get together to large, you know, conferences and things. But I think the easiest way to do that is just leading by example. You know, if you're just working your butt off, then everybody below you is going to see that, and they're going to model you. And you know, or at least the ones that have the drive, the ones that have the desire, they're going to look to you. They're going to model you. And as long as you're working your tail off, and as long as you're modeling somebody who's already been successful, then everything, you know, tends to work. Everybody tends to gradually get better and better and improve their skills and sharpen the saw, and things tend to grow and flourish. Mm-hmm.
That's true. So let's talk about, let's move into your book. Tell us when was it that you discovered the Miracle Morning, and from there, you know, what it did for you personally, and then how you moved that into your own idea as far as Miracle Morning for network marketers. Where'd that, you know, when did you get that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
uh-oh.
Hold on, Pat.
Hold on. It works. There we go.
Sorry. Oh, let's see. I had a call come in. So, okay, we're reconnected here?
We're good.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead. So, Okay, so the straight honest story here is that when Hal wrote The Miracle Morning, I was watching his growth and the book had a little bit of a what I would say kind of a humble launch, but it started circulating a little bit, and then these testimonials were just starting to pop up very organically on like YouTube of people that read the book and implemented it and had great results, and it just started really gaining this organic momentum because people were having such incredible results doing the Miracle Morning and seeing significant changes in their day-to-day life and their businesses and everything. So they're posting all these testimonials, and I was watching that, and I was sort of like, hey, good for Hal, because I was like, standard response, I was like, well, I'm not a morning person, but I'm glad that's working for Hal and everybody else, and because I've always been kind of a natural night owl, I'm up till 2, 3, 4, 5, whenever the creativity stops. But it oftentimes turns on later in the night for me. So I just kind of said, well, that's probably not for me. But I saw that the book was really taken off virally. And one day Hal kind of just called me and he said, hey, I want to expand this out and do a network marketing version. Would you have any interest in co-authoring it? And I knew how well the book was doing. And so to be honest, it was like, I think this is an opportunity that is dumb to say no to. So I better read it and see if I like it. And if I believe in the concept, And so I read the miracle. This is just totally true. I read The Miracle Morning. I loved the book. I've always loved Hal and had tremendous admiration for Hal. He's one of the best humans on the planet. So I just tremendous respect for him. But I read it, started implementing it, and immediately fell in love with the concept, was having great results myself, and just loved how my days went and how my weeks went when I was doing The Miracle Morning. So I quickly agreed to do the book, and then it took about, a year, I think. I'm not even sure. Maybe a year of writing it before, and then we released it. And it was it's been absolutely incredible how it's been embraced by the network marketing world. It's one of the top books in all of network marketing on Amazon now. And every day I get emails from people talking about how they're having such great results. And I do my Miracle Morning pretty much every day. I don't nail it every single day perfectly, but more days than not, I do it. And my wife does well as well, and we absolutely love it. And just totally believe in the concept.
I remember, I'm not sure if this was back when you had first started doing it, but I remember, or maybe it was even in the book where you were mentioning getting high.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
That caught my eye. I was like, what is he talking about? And I right. You explain it. This is really good.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so that's kind of like my opening section of the book is I say like I've been getting high a lot lately. To try to write, kind of grab people's attention a little bit, but I mean it though, and it's true what I feel like the way that I describe the Miracle Morning to people is that when I'm doing my Miracle Morning, particularly as when I'm consistent with it, there's been times over the last couple of years where I've kind of fallen out of consistency and then I've gotten back on, and I'll kind of go through changes a little bit. I've been really consistent for a while now, but. But when I'm on it and I'm doing it, it feels like a high. It feels like your day feels like a high. I feel like, there's those times when a lot of people kind of talk about flow states today. That's kind of a buzzword that a lot of research into flow states. Those states that we get into when we're feeling really highly motivated, when the creative juices are flowing, when you sit down and like 4 hours flies by, you just knock out like a super creative session of whatever you're doing. Yeah. Like that's kind of what a flow state is. You just feel good. You're just in the groove. You're just knocking stuff off your task list or whatever. You're just going. And there's these flow states can actually be tracked. There's certain neurochemical states that are happening that are reproducible. And that's basically what I feel like I'm doing with my Miracle Morning is I'm manufacturing these flow states. As I wake up, I do these things, the most important things to get done, the working out, the reading, meditating, journaling, all the most important things that are easily procrastinated if we don't prioritize them, right? Because they're the things that they don't have to get done today. I would love to go to the gym today, but shoot, my car broke down. I guess I'll go to the gym tomorrow. And that stuff happens all the time. And then next thing, 2 years go by and you haven't worked out. So prioritizing those things and doing them first thing in the morning, I just feel like you're manufacturing feel good chemicals. The serotonin, the dopamine, all the good stuff that puts us in that great mood. When you knock out this in the beginning of your day, the rest of your day, you're just feeling accomplished. You're feeling like you've got the good stuff out of the way, and you just things just glide a lot better. Your whole week glides by, and you're just feeling great. So I really do feel like it is sort of manufacturing this high, whereas before it was something that would come on randomly. You know, like sometimes you just sit down and you have a great session, but you're like, dude, how do I do that again?
Yeah.
And I feel like the miracle morning is the answer to how you do that again, is consistently when you want to.
Well, I love that, because that's definitely the kind of place you want to be when you're talking to someone about
Totally. Whatever
it is you're promoting. You want to be in that state. So, hey, guess what? We can put you in that state every day and whenever you're ready.
Exactly.
It's there. It's awesome.
So was it then your idea for the 90-day action plan journal?
So sort of. What happened was actually one of my team members from my downline. She had contacted, or for a previous downline, she had contacted me. We're still good friends, and she had said she actually creates planners as one of the things that she does for a stream of income. And she contacted me, and I had thought about maybe doing a planner of some sort. I had a couple ideas in my mind, but it was one of those things that I just hadn't, pulled the trigger on or made it a big priority to do. She contacted me and said, hey, I think we should do this. And thankfully she reached out to me, because we took her planner, which is kind of her design, which was the calendar pages and some of that stuff. And then I created the other pages that are, diagramming your group and kind of transferring those into sort of to-do lists and all that kind of stuff. So it was sort of a combination of me and her that kind of put this together, but was really happy with how it came out. And that 90-day planner is sort of a training that I've given for years to my teams of how that, because that's how I build when I've been building a team. That's how I structure my week. As Sunday night, I diagram my group. I look at what the weaknesses are. And we can kind of go into this more if you guys want to. But that planner is exactly how I've always done it and how I've always taught my teams to do it, and I'm not aware of any other tool out there that does that stuff, so I was glad to create that now, and that also is still pretty new, just been out for a few months, but has really been starting to take off as well, and getting great feedback from that.
Right. Well, here's some more. it's funny because I think in our profession, there's so many planners out there, and everybody wants creative space, and everybody, like, I like the fancy, fun, frilly stuff. And I have people messaging me all the time, what do you recommend? What's the best one? And there really hadn't been one that like allowed me to get my team in there, get my weak spots, get my strong spots, get my miracle morning, get my plan out. Because what I would tell people finally is, like, it doesn't matter how much you've spent on a freaking planner if there's nothing in it.
Right, right.
Stop worrying about it. So when I actually saw this, it's funny, everything you do shows up on my Facebook feed. So I saw this and I bought two planners and the physical book for Eddie for Christmas and myself. But when I got it, it actually had the section where you have your miracle morning, and then you check off your focuses of prospecting, presenting, following up, and getting people started, which reminded you to focus that into your week.
Right.
But also have the space to where you can write down, your miracle morning, you can write down the goal you set for the 90-day push, and then actually write down for people like me where lists don't make sense, but write it out where I can focus my efforts. It made me go, wait a sec, this is what I've kind of been waiting for, and actually had mentioned to him, I want to create something, because it's not there right now. It's a lot of, dream planning, and that's great, but I want to get my people putting their appointments in their book, remembering to make them, and scheduling all of it. So I was really, really pleased. And then when I sat down and watched you present, we can talk a little bit about the plan your work your plan section with the circles. At first I looked at it completely.
Yeah.
And then when I got on the training on your site, it was so smart, because a lot of the time we see the big numbers, who's doing really well in our business, but we need to remember that our weak spots is where we need to give them major focus in that week.
Right.
And seeing them. So I was really glad Eddie said, Angela, just go watch his dang video. It's right there. So let's talk about that. Can you talk about the plan your work your plan, then work your plan page?
Yeah, absolutely. So that page, there's sort of some different circles, sort of clusters of circles. And basically the idea is it's a 5x5 diagram of your group. So, and it doesn't matter what a person's comp plan, it doesn't matter if it's a binary or if it's a unilevel or whatever. It's a 5x5. So you can take, you basically ask yourself, who are the strongest five people that I've personally introduced, or maybe it's not even five. If you're brand new, maybe it's one, maybe it's two, you know, whatever. But who are your strongest leaders that you've personally brought on? And then who are their, you know, as many as five strongest leaders that they've brought on? And then who are their as many as their five strongest leaders that they brought on? And there's some rules that are on the page. Like, it kind of defines who you're putting on this page. You're not putting on the people, you're not writing down the people that have said that they're interested, but so far have showed no effort. You know, you're putting down the people that are actually putting forth effort, like your key people, or the people that have goals and they're actively putting forth effort to achieve them. They're putting in similar effort that you're putting in. So those are the people that you're kind of putting on your page. And that gives you, when you do that, first off, when you do that, our first emotion is often depression because, yes. You fill out your key people and you're like, oh, my group looks so small when I'm being honest and I just feel I'm filling out the key people. So that's normal. If that's how you feel when a person first fills out that page. But that's the point though, right? Is it's to get us to take an honest look at what is strong in our group and what is weak. And because, you know, if we want to build a residual income in a team that is going to be not only last for a long time, but is growing and is going to be flourishing, then you can't, you know, if you're not honest about where the weak points are, then it's going to sneak up on you. 6 months down the road, you're going to wonder why you're stagnant or even moving backwards. And it's because, you know, you've got to look at these parts and focus that energy proactively to strengthen the parts that are weak. So that's the idea behind it. And then the other part is, there's both a section for width and a section for depth. So width in network marketing, our width, profitability comes from width. The wider you are and the more people you've brought on, the more people they've brought on, the more people they brought on, the more volume that is close up to you in the pay plan, the more profit you're going to have. So the wider that you go, generally, the more profitable you are. But stability comes from depth. So they're both really important, right? Because depth is that if you've got a key person underneath the key person, underneath the key person, underneath the key person, then those people in between there are not going to quit because they got too much to leave or too much to lose to leave, right? That's the whole idea of network marketing. That's how network marketing got started, is to give salespeople equity. It was basically kind of, you know, going back 50, 60, 70 years, the idea was sales has so much turnover, so much the retention rate for salespeople is so bad. The idea was if you can give people an incentive to bring on other salespeople and maybe train them, they have equity now in the business. So you raise your retention rate of your salespeople. So that's the whole point there of depth, is you get key person under key person or key person or key person that holds everybody in. It's the glue that holds the organization together. So you can track that as well. You can look at like your three strongest groups and say, okay, how deep are each of these groups in terms of strong leaders? And then the idea being to drive those even deeper. And I mean, that sheet is a very long-term planning sheet. It's going to vary from company to company, but if you had actually every spot in that sheet filled out, I don't think there's any way that you're not making seven figures annually if you had every space in that sheet filled out.
Right on.
Yeah.
I actually, when I was watching you present this, and anybody, and we'll let you share your sites at the end, but anybody can go watch you train this. But I was, when I was listening to it, because I was looking at mine, and we have a large organization, I was like, oh, man, this is so sparse.
Right, right.
in my mind. But then when you said, if this is filled out, then you're probably most likely a 6, if not 7-figure earner. And we have way down in our organization. She's unbelievable. But I did hers briefly, just looking at it. I'm like, yep, he nailed it. He's right on. She is a 7-figure earner. Hers is filled out double.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So it was dead on. So it gave me something to go, well, okay, so here's what needs to happen for me to reach that, to attain that level. So
right.
I like being able to see that. It wasn't depressing anymore.
yeah, no, exactly. That gives you something to aim for. And, you know, what I always used to do too, I don't know if I had said that in the training video or not, but what anybody could do if they like this better is I used to blow up that image. You could Xerox that image and go get to Kinko's and blow it up big size and laminate it or whatever and hang it on your wall. And then you can dry erase markers or whatever. So you kind of got it there in your office. Yeah, I always loved that because then every day you're looking at this visual representation of your team. You know exactly where you're focusing on. So that's a fun way to do it too.
We're totally doing that. I'm a dry erase board fanatic. We have and to me, I think 4 or 5 is not enough. I think we have to have like 10 in every room. So I'm just making a note right now.
Right.
So anyway, I just think it's so great. It's so great to finally have a tool and to be able for people. So our company is very, very product driven, very product driven. We're the most product driven company probably in network marketing. And that's
great.
But I know that the people who come in, they're very new to network marketing. You don't get a lot of people who have done it before. In this company, which is great. So this actually gives them for our people who listen, who follow us, they do a lot of the things that we share because we only share the things that we're really passionate about. It gives them a way to really understand the flow of the business, what needs to happen, when it should happen. You know, here's some things through your day to make sure to happen. And here's an overall look at how you can work yourself into the income that you do want to make here.
Yep.
Anybody can pick it up and figure it out. And I love that. So we're really appreciative of this whole little part of your amazing world of entrepreneur business and all that stuff, but we're thankful for it.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it's been a tool that has been valuable to you guys and your team. And I know that it was I'm a very analytical person. And so for me, I feel like I can relate to what you were saying is that a lot of the planners out there, and a lot of the things were not nuts and bolts-y enough for like what I wanted, like exactly the day-to-day action. So anyway, I just put together what works for me and hopefully it works for other people. Probably there are some people out there that like look at that and it's like way too overanalyzing or it drives them crazy or something like that. But that's what works for me.
I'll figure out a way to make it even harder. When I saw you can map out your miracle morning routine. Mine has become elaborate over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So I've got a nighttime and a morning.
I love it.
I like went and sketched it out, mapped it out, and then like had to like make it perfect in this book just to add a little bit more analytical.
I love it.
And I don't know, you probably have the same thing. For me, the reason why I like the analytical is so that I can just do without thinking.
Yeah. Yep.
I can just trust that what my next step is right there and just do it and don't ask why. It's processes. That's for me why I like the analytical part.
I feel you. I mean, that's the title of that section, right? Plan your work and then work your plan. If you take the time to just plan it out, then literally you have right in front of you exactly what to do. And if you just do that, just discipline yourself to just follow the plan that you've created, then you're going to get where you're going.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right. So we want to move into, if you're good, we want to move into first questions. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. I'm ready.
We do this with everybody we interview and it's been great.
Good stuff.
There's an awesome book out by a really dear friend, Martha Finney, who partnered with, Margie Alaprandi.
I know Margie.
Yeah. Margie's. Mm-hmm. Let's see, last year's Network Marketing GoPro, she spoke, but not this year.
Yeah, Margie's a rock star.
Yeah, she is. So 75 of network marketing's top experts are in this book, and the three questions they all had to answer, and it's just a great read, and we love it. So we're going to ask you. The first question is, what is the best thing you can do when you decide I'm doing this?
Okay, yeah. So I would say the best thing that somebody can do, I think probably most important would be to find a mentor, and your mentor may or may not be your sponsor, to just recognize that just because, you know, so-and-so signed you up, like you have to take responsibility for your own success. So you have to find the person that has what you want, and hopefully that goes beyond just the paycheck, but is the type of person that you want to be, you know, that they are the type of person that interacts with people in the way that you want to interact with people. They're, you know, a mentor beyond just they make, you know, a ton of money every week or every month. And find out who that person is, ideally in your company, of course. Because that's somebody in your company is doing what you're doing. There's lots of trainers and speakers that, you know, in the network marketing space that are, you know, quote unquote, like generic trainers. And a lot of them have phenomenal training and great stuff, but you probably need to have somebody that is doing exactly what you're doing in the same company that you're doing, that you can really model and like link arms with and be a fly on the wall for their presentations or their 3-hour phone calls or their coffee appointments or their webinars or however it is that you are the main ways that you are building the business. And then just do everything that you can to be around that person, to add value to that person, maybe like actually working for that person a little bit, like doing stuff for them just so that you can be around them more and like get to, you know, see the inner workings of how they're running their business and just absolutely emulate that person. And it's more than just, I talked about this earlier. It's more than just like doing what they tell you to do when they tell you to make a list and call somebody or they tell you to, you know, whatever. I really mean like absorbing, like we talked about earlier, like absorbing their confidence, learning to speak in the way that they speak when you're talking to a prospect or when you're handling objections. When they're giving a presentation, it's taking notes on the flow of their presentation, understanding why they did this part before they did that part, and the sales psychology of the presentation. That's the stuff that takes a little bit of while to really learn, but man, that's like that's the secret sauce. That's like the Jedi mind tricks of network marketing and sales, is learning that stuff. Because if you just say what somebody else says, you're oftentimes not going to get the results. You've got to say it in the way that they said it. And that's really, really key and takes, you know, just a lot of practice. It maybe is recording yourself when you're speaking to somebody and then going back and listening to it and saying, man, I sounded terrible right there, you know, and then being like, okay, what words should I use differently? What would so-and-so have said if they were doing this? What did they say when they were handling this objection? But anyway, finding a mentor and really sticking to him, I guess.
Right on. That's awesome.
Great.
All right, man. Finding a mentor. Okay. So this is usually fun, you know, but all right. So let's say someone comes in the business and they ask you, okay, what is something I should make sure I never, ever do? What is the worst thing to do when building a network marketing business?
I would say, let's see, the worst thing to do. One is to just you know, bounce around shiny object syndrome. That's really common, right? When somebody's first getting started, is to there's this cool strategy, technique, program, course, whatever. And then there's this other one over here. And then there's this other one over here. And then there's this other cool thing you heard. Or, you know, bounce around companies that people do also, and they get started and then they hear this other thing or whatever. You just got to, you know, get in, decide something that you think is going to work for you, or again, modeling the person that you want to model, and just really digging in and doing what they do and not jumping around too much.
Awesome.
Shiny object.
There you go. Yeah. Give it time. Yep. You just got to give whatever, pick one and go with it and give it time.
Yep.
Okay.
So the last question is, what is the very first thing someone should do when they decide to build a business?
So I would say the very first thing that somebody would do, I mean, outside of, we talked about like building, getting a mentor, but honestly, I think that the first thing that somebody should do is feel, this is going to sound weird, but feel stupid, feel rejected. To get rejected is the first thing that you is one of the first things that you should do is to get rejected, feel like an idiot, and just sit with it for a second and realize that you didn't die, that it's all good, right? That you made a phone call and you totally blew it and you totally sound like an idiot and you still are breathing, you're still gonna make it, and just to get comfortable with like rejection and to That's just awesome. Get that. You know, like because that kills people so much, and they quit and they go like, oh, this is not for me. But here's the deal. I mean, maybe somebody else would disagree with me, but I don't think there's any way that you're building this business without going through a ton of rejection and a ton of those times where you felt like an idiot and a ton of those times where you you felt like you screwed up. That's going to be part of the process. So you better like. Thicken your skin. You better like get ready for that, and just know that it's going to come, and learn how to just brush it off and just plow through.
I love it so much. It's like it's like the old school. It's funny. I was watching Animal House the other day.
Yeah,
scene at the beginning of the movie where they're initiating their new pledges.
Uh huh.
The guy bent over and they're spanking him with the wooden mallet, and he's like. He's like, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Right. Thank you, sir, exactly.
Man. Like that's the initiation into the fraternity.
Yep. That's like, exactly right.
That is like, I'm like, that's genius. That's totally what we should do. Okay. We're going to have some fun today. Today you're going to make
that's exactly right.
And it's going to be embarrassing and awkward. And they'll probably say no, but we're going to do yep. this right now. We're just going to.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that all fears are just over. Yeah. There's nothing else to be afraid of after that point.
I think totally. That's my favorite first reply.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had anybody give a reply that good on the first one. That one's way better because some people are like, well, you should know your why and all that stuff, which is awesome. We love it, but that's huge. So I hope
everyone
decides to go ahead and mark it off the calendar. Oh my gosh, I had the embarrassing call or the embarrassing.
That's right. Celebrate it.
For a referral, right? Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So brilliant. Okay, Pat, thank you, man. This has been awesome. So good. We got to, do you have any other questions before we?
No, okay. Anyway, like I said, so thankful for your time and for everything that you put into this and for, just pouring into this profession. So we appreciate you so much.
My pleasure. And I'm so glad that you guys have found value in the materials. And I'm so glad to honored to be on here on your podcast with you both here. And like we talked about at the beginning, I would love to, you know, if I can ever add value to your team in any other ways going forward, you guys reach out to me anytime and would love to work with you guys in the future.
Sweet. So how can our followers start becoming your followers immediately?
So, really, like probably the best thing the website for the book is TMM for networkmarketers.com. So TMM like the Miracle Morning for FOR networkmarketers.com. And if people go there and they pop in their email address, that you'll get two free chapters of the book. So you can check out the first couple chapters, and then you also get access to a ton of bonus material that we created. So there's 18 full length interviews with all the people that were featured in the books, which is all network marketing professionals, anywhere from people that have only been in for a few years but are making healthy six figures in incomes in just a short period of time, to people that have been around for decades and are industry legends and have made many seven figures multiple seven figures in the network marketing world. So there's tons of interviews back there and some different tools and all that kind of stuff. So that's probably the best way. And then, connect with me on Facebook, Pat Petrini, and we can connect there as well.
Yeah, I totally connect with Pat. Let him know you heard him on the podcast because we want to kind of meld your community in with ours because, I mean, if they're following you, then they need to be following us too. This is just...
Absolutely.
You know, they all need to be part of each other. It's just really cool.
I love it.
Of course, hopefully one day we can even get Hal on the podcast or anybody else because this is... To me, the Miracle Morning has such a big impact on my life, and it's ultimately, and so because of that, it's had an impact on many other people's lives because I've talked about it so much, or I've coached it, or I've asked the people that hire me to coach them, hey, this is what you're going to start doing. For me, day one is we're starting to develop you. I'm going to teach you this morning routine. You need to do this every day.
Yep.
So I couldn't be more appreciative of you and of course, Hal and anybody else that is involved in this movement.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt that we can get Hal on here. That reach out. Let's talk about that again a little down the road. Hal, as you guys may know, is in his second battle for his life, which is unbelievable. Hal's one of the best humans on the planet, like I said, and he's already come back from death literally once. He was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver, medically killed, heart stopped, and recovered from that. And now, just recently, out of nowhere, a leukemia popped up, and he's battling that. There's a 95%, the treatment he's going through is a 95% success rate, so there's great reason to be hopeful. But man, he's battling for his life again right now, and so definitely all the positive energy and prayers and whatever anybody believes helps is a great thing to be sending in Hal's direction right now.
Right on. So please, all listeners, man, just send your prayers. And if you go on to what's the Facebook page, Miracle Morning?
Yeah, if people just go on Facebook and they search Miracle Morning, you'll find the Miracle Morning community on there, which is a really vibrant online community. Tons of people, if you want any support, you have questions, anything relating to Miracle Morning, or how you're looking for an accountability partner or anything like that, there's a really active community on there. And then, of course, you can hop on there and send your well wishes to Hal as well.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. That's great. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, no, this is amazing. But if anybody can handle it, it sure can be him.
Yep.
So, all right, man. Well, again, Pat, maybe you got like one or two little things you want to say right before we wrap up, and then we'll let you go because this has been awesome.
Well, one or two more things. I guess I would just say the other thing I would just say is that, there's a great book. This is kind of actually on the back of my mind during one of your questions is what should a person do when they're first getting started is, you've got to embrace the pain. There's a great book by Ryan Holiday that, the obstacle is the way. And it's basically just talking about how we are very conditioned to this mindset of of trying to avoid pain or trying to avoid obstacles. And it causes us to quit things easily. It causes us to get discouraged easily. It causes us to do that shiny object syndrome because we give this one strategy, 48 hours and it's not working for us, then we jump to another one. But the concept behind the obstacle is the way is that it's a very big mindset shift, and it's understanding that success, you can't reach success without going through those obstacles. Like they are one and the same. Happiness and pain are opposite sides of the same coin. Success and failure are opposite sides of the same coin. You've got to condition yourself to, when you're running into those frustrating periods, if you're brand new and maybe you're not where you're at, you've been in the business for 6 months and you're not exactly where you want to be, or it's been frustrating or whatever, you have to realize that you have to go through that if you're going to be successful. That's your learning curve. The path is the obstacles. The obstacle is the way. You have to, success is going to be found by learning how to navigate through those obstacles, not by trying to avoid them and go somewhere else where you think it's going to be easier, because you're just going to keep running into these obstacles. The only way to hit the success that you want is figuring out how to plow through them and trying to make that your mindset, and embracing the chaos, embracing the pain, embracing the discomfort, and plowing through it and learning is how you're going to get where you're trying to go.
That's perfect.
Drop the mic.
We're gonna end
on that one.
Yeah,
go
we're
ahead.
Gonna wrap that up. We appreciate you so much. Thank you again for Mama's Little Biz Podcast. My name is Angela Villa,
and I am Eddie Villa. Have a wonderful week, everybody, and happy sharing.
Bye.